namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Maitreya uvacha. Yada swabhariyaya sardam. Jatak swayam bhuvo manuhu. Pranjalik pranatas jidam. Veda garvam abhashata. Maitreya uvacha. Yada swabhariyaya sardam. Jatak swayam bhuvo manuhu. Panjali pranatas chidam. Veda garbam abhashata. Maitreya uvacha. Maitreya said, Yada, when Swabhariyaya, along with his wife, Sardam, accompanied by Jataha, appeared Swayambhuvaha, Swayambhuva Manu, Manuhu, the father of mankind, Pranjalihi, with folded hands, Pranataha, in obeisances, Cha, also, Idam, this, Veda Garbam, unto the reservoir of Vedic wisdom. Abhashata, addressed. The sage Maitreya said to Vidura, after his appearance, Manu, the father of mankind, along with his wife, thus addressed the reservoir of Vedic wisdom, Brahma, with obeisances and folded hands. Okay, no purport, I'll read the next verse. Twamekak sarva bhutanam janmakrit vrittidak pita tatapi nak prajanam te sushusha kenavabhavit. You are the father of all living entities and the source of their subsistence because they are all born from you. Please order us how we may be able to render service unto you. Purport. A son's duty is not only to make the father the source of supply for all his needs, but also, when he is grown up, to render service unto him. That is the law of creation, beginning from the time of Brahma. A father's duty is to bring up the son until he is grown. And when the son is grown up, it is his duty to render service unto the father. So, in the spiritual world, there is the relationship, rasa-vatsalya. But it is the love, the bhava, that the father or the mother enjoys in relationship to the child. There is transcendental pleasure in being the maintainer. There is no converse rasa of childhood, being the dependent. Krishna has his sons, his children, and his other dependents, servants. But they're in the relationship of dasya. There is no transcendental pleasure in just being the receiver of service.
one must give service. Devotional, bhakti begins really with dasya. All the higher rasas are based on dasya. The bhava of servitude, that ecstasy, is the basic ingredient of all transcendental rasas. When one is Krishna's friend, that is still a special kind of service. It's not separate from service. It's not something different than service. When one becomes Krishna's father or mother, that is a very special kind of service. And when one becomes Krishna's lover, that is the most special service. That is all dasya, servitude. Ekala Krishna, Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arso Pritya. Krishna is the only Lord, Master, and everybody else is his Britya. Britya means servant, but it has a special meaning. It comes from the verb Britya. Britya is one who needs to be maintained, the dependent. Krishna is alone is independent, and everybody else, conversely, is dependent. Everybody else. All relationships with Krishna are based on that dependency. But what does the dependent, how does the dependent enjoy a relationship with the master? By service. There is, there are two different words, seva and daya. The superior and the inferior serve one another. There is mutual service. Service is shared. But they go under different names. The service that the dependent inferior renders to the independent superior is called seva. And the service that the superior renders to the dependent is called daya, compassion, mercy. Like the compassion of a father for the child, of a master for the servant. Here, Svayambhava Manu, although he's known as Prajapati, Lord of all the living entities, he's Manu. Everyone who's born in his Manvantara is his descendant and owes allegiance to him. But here, he, and speaking in the plural on behalf of his subjects, he's expressing his dependence. Here on Lord Brahma, and Brahma is just a representative of the Supreme Person, you are the alone, you are the father of all the living entities. This is Svayambhuva addressing Brahma. You give them their birth, you give them their duties, their occupations. But that's so he's acknowledging you are the master, we are the servants. But the Britya has a right to ask for his maintenance. That is appropriate. The child can ask the father for what he needs. The servant can ask the master for what he needs. So he's expressing here the need. We don't know how to proceed with our service. There's a specific problem that will be expressed in the next few verses. Not only are they in need, next verse describes, Svayambhuva goes on to say we need in specific instructions from you. Svayambhuva Manu is the author of the Manu Smriti, but he didn't make up his ideas in his own head. He's simply repeating what was taught to him by Brahma about how to organize human civilization. The knowledge, not only the ingredients or the external shapes and forms of creation, but the plan, the ideas behind creation. There's a plan for human society. It's not just a physical organism, it's an intelligently designed organism. So the design of human society was described, taught by Brahma to Svayambhuva, and then Svayambhuva became the authority, but not independently, not just on his own research, but by hearing it from the previous authority, Brahma. Brahma received the Vedas coming from the spiritual world, and that's where he got his knowledge from. He's also not independent in his knowledge. All knowledge comes from the Vedas. Brahma is the first receiver in the material world of the Vedas. So there's a general discussion about the need for some guidance on how to organize the living entities in their proper occupational duties. And at the end of that, after about, looks like 10 verses, then there's mention of the fact we have a specific problem. The earth is submerged underneath the Garbha ocean. And that before we can actually organize anything, we need to deliver it. So that will come up, but that's going to come up after about 10 verses. Okay. So any questions or comments?
Yes, please. Manu Smriti, that we know, was written down by Vyasadeva also?
Vyasadeva. I guess so, but not written down just means that he, they were already written down on paper or what? No, but they weren't written, they were spoken anyway. Okay, so written down is not the right way to describe it. They weren't written down. They were passed down verbally, yes? No. Not even Prabhupada doesn't say that, I don't think. He compiled. The institution of preservation of Shastra by writing is a more recent thing. It's considered, even Smritis, it's considered aparad to receive and study the Vedas from a written book. And even the Smritis were originally, that's why they're written in sutra form, the early Smritis. They're meant for memorization. And the transmission was verbal up until after the beginning of Kali Yuga. The Mahabharata was written down, that's an exceptional. But not Ganesh wrote the Mahabharata. In actual manuscript. But that was not the general procedure. Vyasadeva spoke Shastras to his disciples. So Vyasadeva, the Dharma Shastras are written by particular sages. Manu wrote one of them. There are many other sages, dozens of sages who wrote their own Dharma Shastras. I presume Vyasadeva also compiled, when he presented all the Shastras. He presented the Shrutis and also the Puranas, and I presume other Smritis. And top on the list of other Smritis would be the Dharma Shastras. But that's just that he included them in his collection, not that he had much to do with writing them. They're already written. They're already composed by the various authors. It's interesting, we can see in the Manu Smriti itself that it says it's spoken by Bhrigu. That this is not even the original Manu Smriti spoken by Manu. This is a version of it spoken by his disciple, Bhrigu, the Manu Smriti that we have. So it's the Manu Smriti according to Bhrigu, Bhrigu's version of it. So you have a disciplic succession like that. But there, anyway, whether disciples take what their spiritual master said and then further adapt it, still, they have the Dharma Shastras have actual authors. They're Smriti. So Vyasadeva's involvement would just be the compilation, maybe some editing. And I don't think they were written down in the beginning. Later on, only. That was Vedic study, was to learn the Shastras. Learn the Shastras means to memorize them.
What is the reason that memory, goes down, slows down in Kali Yuga? What is the reason for this? That memory?
Yes. All reasons. The food is not wholesome. The cows are sickly, so our brains don't get nourished. The environment is dirty, polluted, weak. All energies decrease. So the whole environment and the food we're eating and the style of our life becomes polluted and debilitated. So therefore our intelligence and memory become weak also. And following the regular, those who strictly follow all four regular principles, especially brahmacharya, celibacy, they have strong memories.
Like if they can memorize Bhagavad Gita nowadays, there are people who know Bhagavad Gita by heart.
Yes, but they used to know large amounts of literature, or they would specialize. You know, each student belonged to a special school. He would learn the one branch of the Veda, and someone else would learn another branch. Not that everybody tried to learn everything. In the Rig Veda, there are 1,024 suktas, maybe average of 12 to 20 verses each. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 20,000 verses, something about the size of the Bhagavatam. Yeah, Rig Veda is about the same size as the Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. Yes, well, go ahead and memorize the Bhagavatam. I don't know. I don't know anybody who knows the whole Bhagavatam. I've heard of some. I know some people who know three cantos or something. Okay, so we'll stop there. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.